mercy and peace be yours this day from God our Father and from our coming Savior Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. It's again, good morning, St. Luke's. Welcome to each and every one of you. I'm Pastor Dan, and today we're wrapping up our three-week little series, Prince of Peace. And in the word from God that Sharon just read for us, Jesus tells a story, and it's a parable. Whenever we hear or read the parables of Jesus, there are a number of things to kind of keep in mind. The parables that Jesus tells are everyday sorts of stories. Jesus tells stories that illustrate something far beyond our normal experience by starting with what we know, with what we experience quite regularly. But even though the stories that Jesus tells are kind of based on everyday life, more often than not, Jesus inserts into that average story something that's ridiculous. Like he'll add something that's just absurd. There's a moment in most of the parables where to the hearers in Jesus' context, it is obviously ridiculous hyperbole. And it's at that moment of absurdity when the teaching of the parable most clearly comes to life. Now, as far as the teaching goes, the parables of Jesus usually go one of two directions. Some parables are warnings, and some parables are models. So some parables show you what not to do, and some parables show you what you ought to do. Some parables show you what happens when things go wrong, and other parables show you what happens when things go right. So in general, these two kinds of parables, there are negative examples to avoid, and there are positive examples to follow. And every now and then, Jesus will combine them. So like the parable of the Good Samaritan kind of does both. So the guy gets beat up on the side of the road, and the one guy walks by and doesn't help. Don't do that. And another guy walks by, he doesn't help either. Don't do that. And then the third guy walks by, and he helps. You should do that. So Jesus tells parables that are negative, don't do what this guy did. And he tells other parables that are positive, you should do it like this. And the parable of the Good Samaritan's one where they're kind of combined. Well, in our parable today from Matthew 18, it's a parable about perspective. Jesus wants us to see things, to see reality in the right proportions. It's a parable on perspective that helps us to see the relative size of things as they relate to one another. And as Jesus tells this parable on perspective in Matthew 18, he sets it up as one of those negative examples, one of those avoid this, one of the parables that says, don't do what this guy did. It's a warning parable. But what I'd like to do this morning is I want to take the teaching of that parable where Jesus gives us a negative example of it doesn't look like this. I want to take that teaching and offer kind of a positive example. I want to reshape, reimagine, kind of retell that parable in such a way that we can walk away going, oh, so we should do this. It does look like this. So I want to reimagine a parable that's a negative example and share it as a positive example. Instead of telling us what not to do, I want to let the teaching of God's word show us what we can and should do. And I think it would go like this. So there were two guys who worked together. And the one guy owed the other guy $15,000. No small debt. And the guy who was in debt couldn't dodge his buddy any longer. And he owed him $15,000, but he didn't have $15,000. And so he pleaded for mercy. He begged for more time. He said to his friend, "Have mercy on me, and I will pay you." But his buddy was running out of mercy. He was running out of time. He needed to collect on that outstanding debt. And if his buddy couldn't pay it, then he'd have to get a court order to have his wages garnished until such a time as the debt could be paid. And $15,000, you know, kind of an average, little more than minimum wage job, it might take about 4 months or so. If the court could give the order that every cent would go to the man to whom it was owed, it would be about 4 months worth of his livelihood would be re-diverted. And then the guy who was going to receive the money, he didn't feel great about this, but you know, fair is fair. It wasn't his fault that the other guy went in the debt. It wasn't his fault that the other guy couldn't pay. It wasn't his fault that this other guy couldn't come through. And once this other guy had worked for 4 months, once she was able to pay back that $15,000, things would be fine. They could go back to the way it was. You know, fair is fair, but you gotta make good on what you owe. And while this man was thinking about the justice of his cause and the righteousness of his claim, while he was thinking about how he might spend that $15,000 in 4 months as it starts to come in, this man who was going to receive all this money, he happened to run into his boss. And this man who was going to receive $15,000 in the next 4 months, as he ran into his boss, it was brought to his attention that he actually had a debt to his boss. So he was going to get $15,000 because somebody was indebted to him, but this same guy, he actually owed his boss money. And the boss comes to this guy who was pretty excited about getting his money, and the boss says to him, "Hey, I'm going to need you to pay up pretty soon." "Oh, sure, no problem. Yeah, whenever you want, just let me know. But just so we're on the same page, how much was it again?" And the boss is like, "You didn't forget, did you?" No, of course not. I just want to make sure we have the same number, that's all." And the boss says, "You owe me $1.5 billion. billion. No problem. Boss is like, "You keep saying problem. Is there a problem?" Nope, no problem. "It's just that, right now I don't have all of that kind of liquid right now. You know, I don't have all 1.5 billion at my disposal. I don't have it right now," is what I'm saying. And the boss is like, "All right, well, how much do you have? When can you have it?" The guy's like, "Well, in about 4 months, I should have 15,000. The boss is like, "You owe me 1.5 billion. Have patience on me, and I will pay you." The boss is like, have patience. "Well, how much time do you need? You know, at your current rate, how long until you could get me my 1.5 billion? And then the worker kind of is doing his math. He's like, "Oh, okay, well, I owe you 1.5 billion. If I worked every day this year, 365 days, no days off for holidays, if I worked 365 days a year at my current rate, hold on, let me do that again. How much did you say? 1.5 with a B. Okay, 1.5 billion at my current rate if I work 365 days a year without taking even my birthday off, okay? It would take approximately 150,000 years. "I'm sorry, what?" I didn't hear you. 150 years. "A year, it would take 150,000 years. And this is the point in the parable where where there's this moment of absurdity that is making Jesus' point. 10,000 talents in first century Israel is the equivalent of about $1.5 billion. We know from history that when they collected taxes in this region, when they collected taxes from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and Idumea, from this whole region, when they collected taxes from everybody, they collected 600 talents. So 600 talents is like taxes from the entire country. So for an average day laborer to owe 10,000 talents, it's many thousands times what the whole nation has. And it would take somebody working a minimum wage job. Imagine somebody working at a McDonald's or fast food restaurant, a minimum wage job, for them to pay $1.5 billion. I mean, it's hyperbole beyond imagination. It's ridiculousness. And so this servant who owes $1.5 billion, it would take him 150,000 years to pay it back. He says to his boss, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay you back." And the boss thinks about it, and he has pity on the man, and he has mercy on the man, and he says, "You know what? Forget about it. Let's just call it good. I release you from your debt. I forgive your debt. I forgive you. Be free." If you can imagine, this man is kind of stunned and confused. He kind of stumbles away from this conversation, and he's obviously perplexed and, I would imagine, dizzy and kind of not in his right mind, but with every step he takes, his feet feel a little bit lighter. And you can imagine him walking down the corridor, hallway in this office, just going, "I'm free. I'm free. I'm free." And pretty soon his steps turn into like skips. You know, just skipping down the hallway. "I'm free," shouting at the people trying to work. "I'm free." And these introspective thoughts about his future and fear, all of a sudden that internal anxiety turns into just like high fives to strangers. You know, some guy at the water cooler is just there, and this guy walks up like, "I'm free." And he's giving it, "All right." And this guy is just glowing and skipping around the office. And he goes by the cubicle of his indebted coworker, who's sitting there with his head in his hands, looking at his insufficient funds in his bank account. And this man who's just freed comes barging in. He says, "Did you hear the good news? Did you hear? Did you hear? I'm free. I'm free. He forgave me. He forgave me. I owed more than I could ever pay, and he forgave me. My friend. I see everything differently. I see the world differently. I see debt differently. I see your debt differently. I see you differently. My friend, listen. I release you from your debt. I forgive you your debt. I forgive you. Be free." And the guy in his cubicle, he's going, but I owe you that. That was my debt. I made those choices. It's my responsibility." And his buddy's like, yeah, I know, you do. Well, you did, but I release you. I forgive you your debt. I forgive you. Be free." And the man's going, "How? Why? And his friend says, "I've been forgiven more than I can ever conceive of. How could I possibly hold this debt over you?" And these two men there in that cubicle, they have this very professional handshake, which quickly becomes an embrace with unashamed tears just rolling down. In that moment, the boss walks by the entryway to that cubicle, and he smiles like a proud father. Now, lest the subtleties of this parable be lost on anyone here, in our life together, people will think and say and do things that hurt you. Sometimes they'll be accidental or incidental, and sometimes they'll be quite intentional. But in our life together as a community of people of faith, people will think and say and do things that wrong you and offend you, and they will sin against you. And by nature, we're really good at keeping track. We're really good at having debit and credit columns in our little pocketbook. We're really good at knowing, well, this person did something nice for me, so maybe I owe them a little bit. And this person screwed up, so they owe me a little bit. And they screwed up again, so they owe me a little more. And they screwed up again, so they owe me a little more. And they probably didn't hold that door on purpose. They owe me a little more. And there's a reason they didn't call me on my birthday, and they owe me a little more. And there's a reason they didn't. And we add and add and add and add and add. And it doesn't take long in our life together to look at anyone in this room or any family in this room or a group of people in this room and to see their outstanding debt of $15,000 to you. And that's a real debt. And those are real wrongs. And the parable that Jesus tells, it doesn't minimize that $15,000 debt or 100 denarii. It doesn't say that doesn't matter. It's not saying that money doesn't count. What it's saying is that we need to see that in perspective. This parable is not saying that when people wrong you or hurt you or offend you or sin against you, the parable is not saying that those hurts aren't real. It's not saying that what the other person did was fine. This parable is not saying that what they did is excusable or justifiable. But what the parable is saying is that wrong from your neighbor isn't the whole picture. See, whatever debt the people around you might owe you because of their wrongs against you, it's nothing compared to what God has forgiven you in Jesus. Jesus pays your debt with his life. Your debt for your thoughts and your words and your actions against one another. Jesus pays your debt with his life, your debt of your thoughts and your words and your actions that are offensive to God. Jesus pays your debt with his life. Now, God's not up in heaven as this cosmic bookkeeper. He doesn't spend all his day as this eternal accountant working on the ledger and putting debits and credits next to everybody's name. That's not what God is about. He's a God of relationship. But if God were, and whatever your debt would have been, God releases you from it. He forgives your debt. He forgives you in Jesus. And Jesus shed blood in your place is enough. It's enough to set you free. And it's that perspective that we need to forgive one another. And so the warning of this parable, and it is very much a parable of warning, the warning of this parable is that if you find yourself unwilling to forgive someone who has wronged you, then there's a very real chance that you are standing outside of God's forgiveness. And the promise of this parable, the gift that this parable offers, is severalfold. One is that God forgives you in Jesus. God forgives your unfathomable debt to him. And what's more, and this is maybe my favorite part of this parable, God forgives you of your sin, and he frees you of having to keep books on everybody else. He frees you from that burden of having to keep tabs and make a note and a journal entry for every time somebody's wronged you. Because when you do that, it might feel like you're keeping them in debt to you and in bondage to you, but every time you keep a journal entry for somebody else's wrong, you're just putting more chains on yourself. It is a heavy burden to carry around a list of everyone else's wrongs against you. So not only does God free you of your sin, he frees you of that burden to having to keep track of everybody else's sins. And to go a step further, he empowers and enables and calls you to go and forgive one another, to actually forgive one another's debts as you have been forgiven in Jesus. God forgives you in Jesus, and I'm with him. Thanks be to God. Amen.